This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, where we talk about the biggest stories from across Texas.
Thank you for joining us on The Headline. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor here at Texas Scorecard. We're going to talk about a few big stories from this week. Is Governor Greg Abbott working to kill school choice? I spoke with Corey DeAngelis, the National Director of Research at the American Federation for Children, about that issue and the future of school choice in Texas. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, you might remember her name. Wendy Davis, is back in the news, this time suing over Texas's life-saving heartbeat bill. Reporting on that, we've got Jacob Asmussen, who's followed that story. Jacob, Wendy Davis, it was what, I guess 10 years ago almost, that she had her big abortion filibuster, ran for governor unsuccessfully, and since then has kind of been trying to work her way back in the news. This seems to be the latest attempt by the former state senator.
Yeah, so she's suing to try to stop Texas's Heartbeat Act. This was a monumental bill last year that simply made it illegal to kill a child in the womb once their heartbeat is detected. And so since that law was passed last year, pro-abortion activists and businesses have been suing to try to stop this law. Mm-hmm. Imagine a world where people are mad about saving babies.
Sure.
But nonetheless, legal challenges have gotten all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, the Texas Supreme Court. All of them so far haven't been able to stop this law. And so now she is trying a new method specifically targeting State Rep. Briscoe Kane, who sent cease and desist letters last month to all of these abortion organizations in the state. Mm-hmm. And so now she is trying a different method to stop this law.
Yeah, you're talking about these abortion funds, essentially. One of them, most notably in the article, the Lilith Fund.
Yeah, and now Wendy Davis actually works with the Lilith Fund, and these abortion funds, they provide money to help cover the logistical costs of killing a baby.
Okay, so driving there,
right.
Things
hotel
like that.
Costs, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, and perhaps symbolically, Wendy Davis's Lilith Fund, the mm-hmm. name Lilith, originated from a mythological character who was supposedly the mother of all demons, mm-hmm. a night monster who flew through the night searching for women in childbirth mm-hmm. to torment and either strangle or steal their babies. So pretty interesting symbolism there of what they're actually doing to babies here in the state.
Yeah, it's always hard to predict and it's early, but what seems to be the thought about whether or not this is going to be successful?
Well, even a pro-abortion attorneys have recently said, look, we've tried everything that we can do to stop mm-hmm. this law. They don't seem to think that they'll be able to stop it. We'll see about this latest attempt.
Yeah, I mean, the Heartbeat Act, as you note in your article, the Heartbeat Act is reportedly saved more than 20,000 children's lives from abortion since it took effect in September of last year. Absolutely amazing. Protecting children in a different light, you've got the state of Florida. You have an article up at Texas Scorecard about the state of Florida fighting back against the Biden administration's attack on children.
Yeah, so for context, last month the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services put out this guidance supporting, quote, gender-affirming care mm-hmm. for minors. Now, what this is administering puberty blocker drugs, sterilizing cross-sex hormones, and even cutting off healthy body mm-hmm. parts of children, cutting off breasts of healthy adolescent girls, right? Horrific, disfiguring procedures. Mm-hmm. So the U.S. Department puts out this guidance last month supporting those procedures. Mm-hmm. And however, this week, the Florida Department of Health responds back and says, look, this is ridiculous, mm-hmm. right? These procedures, I mean, go figure, cutting off a adolescent girl's healthy breasts mm-hmm. is harmful, right? Florida puts out saying, look, y'all, this is ridiculous. They even called it an unscientific shift mm-hmm. in their guidance. And they're saying, look, these actually harm kids, and these are all the reasons why. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have the U.S. Department and the Florida Department kind of going back and forth. Meanwhile, Texas, department kind of mum. They're quiet. We sent a request to them asking, mm-hmm. hey, do y'all have any guidance on this? Do you have any plans? Do you have any statements on this issue? Mm-hmm. And they haven't responded.
Yeah, the Texas, that'd be Health and Human Services, a department of, you know, one of many, right, in Texas state government, but hadn't replied to inquiries. Interesting comment from Matt Rinaldi, the chairman of the Texas GOP, who asked on Twitter, he said, why are other red states not doing this? I don't know of any state other than Florida where health agencies are presenting an alternative to CDC woke garbage. And it really is refreshing to see this.
It is. It is. And, you know, this is an important issue here in Texas. Many people may not know. This issue came to an international spotlight a few mm-hmm. years ago with the case of James Younger, a 9-year-old Dallas boy mm-hmm. whose mother said he was a girl and wanted to force him to go through these procedures and eventually mm-hmm. be castrated. And so this is happening here in the state. This is an important issue. And we've chronicled that whole story at TexasScorecard.com.
Mm-hmm. Last thing here, I'm kind of taking you a little bit off guard with this one, but I do want to briefly mention it. You had a story earlier this week about Texas Tech's medical school postponing an all-ages drag queen show that was set to raise money, essentially, for left-wing causes.
Yes, this is ridiculous. The publicly funded, taxpayer-funded Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, right, uh-huh. a medical school, they wanted to partner with these organizations to host a all-ages drag show promoting LGBT sexual conduct, which, by the way, as a medical school, they should know the dire health consequences of homosexual activity. Mm-hmm. But like you said, they're promoting this and they're raising money for an organization that is actually trying to keep those child mutilation experiments that we just talked about legal in Texas. Mm-hmm. And so, amazing. I mean, who knows? Did they consider bringing in strippers too? I mean, what's the line
yeah.
here, right?
Well, and it's not just, right, it's not just Texas Tech doing this. We've also seen that the Texas Library Association, right? The people who are supposed to be in charge of, you know, your elementary school kids' library and what books they're looking at, they're having a drag show at their convention next week. Really troubling cases here, but glad to see at least Texas Tech right now is postponing it for now.
We'll see.
Thank you so much, Jacob. With more attention being placed on curriculum inside of public schools, the movement for school choice is growing in Texas, but recent actions have suggested that Governor Greg Abbott might be working behind the scenes to undermine it. I spoke with Corey DeAngelis, an expert on education and school choice, earlier this week to discuss it. Corey, when we see what's happening right now, a ton of stories. I mean, we've covered them at TexasScorecard.com, but that just hasn't been happening only in Texas, where you've seen a lot of the indoctrination we've seen in some of the public schools, a lot of the pornographic material that's being made available to children. It's really, really invigorated, I think, a new movement of parental choice in education. Is that something you're seeing across the country right now?
This is happening all across the country. And the way that I put it before is that COVID didn't break the government school system. In a lot of ways, it was already broken. And the past 2 years have simply shined a spotlight on the main problem with K-12 education all across the country, which happens to be a massive, long existing power imbalance between the public school monopoly and individual families. The latest national polling from Real Clear Opinion Research has found that school choice support is at an all-time high nationwide. And it jumped by about 8 percentage points since the beginning of the pandemic, with 64% of Americans supporting school choice in April of 2020 to most recently in February 2022, 72% of Americans supporting school choice. We also saw this support in the minds of families rising in Texas as well, with the Texas Republican primary ballot Proposition 9, I believe it was, indicating that about 88% of Republican primary voters in Texas supporting the funding following the child, the idea of school choice. And that was up, I believe, 9 percentage points since it was last asked on the ballot in 2018 in Texas. It was a similar question about school choice. So we're seeing surging support all across the country, but it's not just in the minds of the voters. It's also legislation is being advanced all across the country. We're actually calling 2021 last year, the year of school choice, or if you're hip with the lingo by now, it's the year that we decided to fund students, not systems, because 19 states expanded or enacted programs to fund the kids instead of the buildings in 2021. It's a monumental year for school choice, huge success. Texas did not have its legislative session, I don't believe, or did not have an advanced bill in the previous session.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You know, this has been certainly a national movement. To your point, Republican Party of Texas, not only have voters overwhelmingly supported increased school choice in education on the ballot, but it was also one of the Republican Party of Texas's legislative priorities going into the session in 2021. And yet we've seen efforts repeatedly fail. I think the Texas House, a majority of Republicans and Democrats voted against a sort of school choice proposition in Texas just last year. Why do you think it's such an uphill battle in a state that is so famously conservative?
Well, I will say that in 2017, I'm sure you know this and your listeners probably know this, the Texas Senate passed an education savings account bill, which is the purest form of funding students as opposed to system. It's the gold standard of school choice, but it wasn't able to get through the vote in 2017. So in some ways, Texas was kind of moving the ball forward on school choice in the Senate, at least even before the pandemic. But when it comes to the House, from what I can tell, the teachers unions in deep red states will play really hard in at least one chamber to block school choice bills. So you're seeing it this year as well. You have multiple candidates who were at least at one point endorsed by the teachers unions, Casal, Castile, Barry, Rogers, at least endorsed either by AFT or the NEA arm in Texas. I know Castile at an event the other day said something like he retracted that endorsement, mm-hmm. but you still had that happen. And it's not clear whether he returned the $19,500 he received from teachers union groups and other school choice opponents as well. So I think that's the problem here. You have some fake Republicans that are essentially claim to be conservative on other issues. But then when it comes to educational freedom, you have the teachers unions supporting those candidates and getting them across the finish line. But it's time for the parents to wake up. Parents are waking up all across the country. And in a way, although the teachers unions have been an influential special interest group for a long time, parents are becoming a new special interest group when it comes to K-12 education. And it's up to them to move the ball forward and to hold politicians accountable. And it would be wise of politicians from both parties to listen to parents as opposed to teachers unions going forward, especially at a time like now where parents are paying more attention than they ever have before. And a lot of parents felt powerless in 2020, and they're going to fight to make sure they never feel powerless like that ever again when it comes to their kids' education. And we're seeing all these battles bubble up when it comes to K-12 education. First, it was remote versus in-person learning. Then it was CRT versus this curriculum. Now it's gender ideology curriculum or this type of curriculum. Then you had battles about mask mandate or not mask mandate. So there's all of these problems that bubbled up. And I think more people are starting to figure out that they're all just symptoms of the larger issue, which happens to be that we forced millions of families to send their kids to residentially assigned, government-run schools that are part of a one-size-fits-all system. And by definition, that system cannot work for every individual family. Students have unique needs, families have different values, and that's okay, but we shouldn't force parents to go into a one-size-fits-all system to send their kids there where they feel like they're being indoctrinated for 13 years. The only way out of this mess is through freedom rather than force, would be allow the money to follow the child to an institution that aligns with their parents' values. That's the only way out of this. And at the same time, that can provide an incentive for the public schools to do a better job, to not focus on divisive concepts in the classroom and get back to the basics.
There's been a little bit of, I think, confusion on the issue from the top, speaking of statewide elected officials. You've certainly seen Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick out there saying that this is something he supports. But there's been a little bit of mixed messaging from the governor. I want to play a clip real quick of Charles Johnson, the head of the Pastors for Texas Children, which is a liberal group that endorses pro-abortion candidates under the guise of going after, attacking school choice. This is what he said in a forum this week. Check this out.
But even the governor's backing off. And when he came, as soon as he went up there to North Fort Worth and trucked out that parent choice thing, you know, my phone was lighten up from rural House members. Pastor, take a breath. Just got off the phone with the governor. He ain't going to push a voucher bill. Well, we'll see about that.
Now, I don't know right now. Look, we're recording this on Wednesday. Who knows if he's telling the truth, whether or not these things are actually being said. But it is true that Governor Greg Abbott has endorsed a number of candidates that have also been endorsed by the teachers union, in contrast with some of the candidates that U.S. Senator Ted Cruz has endorsed. And he said that school choice is like sort of a deciding issue for him right now.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense for the governor to explicitly endorse candidates who go against his own education agenda. I mean, I'm thinking Casal, Castile, Barry, and Rogers. There may be others as well, but they don't support educational freedom from what I can tell. And all of them, at least at one point, have been endorsed by teachers union groups. And some of them have received a lot of money from teachers union groups at the same time. So this just baffles me still to this day. And as far as the clip from the Pastors for Teachers Unions group is what I like to call them, the false prophets. Yeah, it's still a developing story, and we'll see how that unfolds.
One of the arguments that you do hear, there's obviously a lot of opposition to school choice proposals from teachers unions and the like. But you also sometimes hear some arguments against certain proposals from conservatives who are concerned about, you know, there being strings attached, right, when you're talking about government funding. What's your response to that? How do you navigate that?
That's the textbook definition of making perfect the enemy of the good, because we're already stuck in a system that is completely run by the government. And about 90% of kids have to go to these institutions without exit options that are completely run and regulated and funded by the government, or at least the taxpayer. So school choice, allowing the money to follow the families if they so choose, is a step in the right direction away from government control and government tyranny. It's all voluntary. No families have to take any of the money. If you like your government school, you can keep your government school. If you want to homeschool without the funding, you can still do that. If you want to go to a private school, the private schools have a decision to make each year. They can weigh the benefits of the funding with the cost of potential regulations. And it's up to them to make that decision. And in fact, if you look at places with school voucher programs, the places that have more regulations, fewer private schools indeed tend to participate in those programs. So you'll still have a robust market of options with varying degrees of specialization and regulation. And again, look, this argument, I understand it. I come from a libertarian perspective. But it's making perfect the enemy of the good. We do not have perfection today, and this is a step towards a better outcome and educational freedom for families, even if it's not utopia.
Last thing right now, folks who want to keep moving the ball on this issue, want to learn more about it, what can they do?
Yeah, and one more response to the previous. First was, look, it's all voluntary. Schools can accept the money or not. Families can accept the money or not. But my other response is that the government can regulate private education already. And one way to reduce the likelihood that that's going to happen is to get a bigger tent. If you have more people participating in private education and home-based education, you'll have the concept becoming more mainstream, which is another silver lining of COVID, in my view, is that families got to experience a taste of home-based education. And polling has consistently now shown that families are now more favorable of homeschooling, which should expand your tent. You'll have a bigger tent to defend against future regulations, more people on your side, but then also people in society may be less likely to call for regulation of private education if it's more of a mainstream concept. And for people who want to help us in the fight for education freedom, you can go to educationfreedompledge.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter. It's at DeAngelis Corey.
Thank you so much for joining us, Corey. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I want to thank Corey again for joining us for that. And I want to note, that interview was recorded on Wednesday. It is Friday now as this show comes out, and Governor Greg Abbott has still not responded and answered those questions. We'll let you know as soon as he does, if he does. Well, again, I want to thank everybody for joining us today on The Headline. Quick note for people watching. Texas Scorecard is hiring. You can go to texasscorecard.com/opportunities to find out what positions are available, see if you might be a fit to join us here. But we encourage you to check that out. Again, thank you so much for joining us for the show. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Headline. You can watch the premiere of The Headline on our website at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you like today's production, please consider subscribing and leaving a review on whatever podcasting platform you listen on.